as war rages on in the Middle East, here at the home front, Americans are looking at a divided country that continues to grow, with half the nation seemingly captivated by one ideology or the other. On top of that, new legislation just getting put into the floor, saying that part of the Second Amendment is no longer valid. Let's get into it. First and foremost, just want to thank everybody out there. I mean, the views going up, the downloads going up, and the subscribers on YouTube. We're getting damn close to 100 now. I can't thank you enough. All I could say is please keep sharing it out. Get it out to people that you think would like it. And just being up front foremost, I'm not bought by anybody. I'm not going to be able to espouse opinions that are the same as a Ben Shapiro or Charlie Kirk, because I just don't have that type of money back in my opinions. You're getting raw, unfiltered opinions. If you like that, join in on the conversation. That's all I could say. Hit me down in the comments below. First topic is not my favorite. The U.S. is striking Houthi targets, which is a segment of Yemen, of course. If you are following this conflict, or at least trying to keep an eye on it, we are basing operations out of Israel's conflict, and it is stemming into what looks like just another raging war in the Middle East. Now, problem is, we are now in the 2020s when you have social media all over the place. You can no longer hide from, I want to say the truth, but how people feel. You just can't hide that. And if the overwhelming majority of people are online posting that this is a terrible thing happening, which I'm sorry, I'm on that side, you can't put all that down. And suppression is going to be a big thing that we're talking about in this episode. It's becoming blatant that, in my opinion, the people around the world, not just America, people around the world have too much control over themselves and their own decisions, I think, for governments to be really allowing. I shouldn't have to explain, but I'll just say the ramifications for the U.S. getting into a war with the Houthis is actually way deeper than just battling a group. Right, just like Israel is claiming that they're battling a group in Gaza, right? They're battling a terrorist organization, but their death count in the civilian category is astronomical, right? So they're really battling a peoples. At least it looks like it on paper. When it comes to what we're doing in the Middle East, it's not much different, right? We're battling the Houthis, but it's pretty well known that they're a wing of Iranian government, or at least the Iranian proxy war with Saudi Arabia. And in this function, we are aiding the side that wants us to fight Iran. And you are already seeing rhetoric coming out from both sides, coming from Iran saying, you better not go any further than you're already going. You're already stepping over the line. And America saying, we will protect Americans, which is what we're attacking for. We're attacking for three dead Americans, but we need to look at it. Well, I'm not going to get too far into the foreign policy. It's obviously so set in stone that we have soldiers stationed all over the world, and that puts you in a position. I saw a tweet, and I'm not sure how many of you guys are gamers or are going to know this term, but basically the tweet was amazing in my opinion, and it read out, if you have divisions stationed all over the world on every front and fault line possible when it comes to geopolitics, then you always have a casus belli. And casus belli, for anybody who knows, is your reason for going to war. And it's true. Whenever you have troops like the Americans do, have troops in tons of countries, especially in places, have bases in places where there is a lot of tension. And when that's the case, you always have the option to go to war when things escalate. And that is really what you see in the Middle East. And it's another opportunity taken to get that war machine cranking in America. And you're seeing it on not only in the Middle East, but we tend to forget that this war that was supposedly coming to an end soon in Ukraine with Russia, it's still raging on out there too. All right. So we have tensions building up all over the world, and it's starting to bleed down into our daily politique. And it's painfully obvious to me that Americans are getting affected by this in their daily lives, and it's sad to see. Let's get into the next part here. I set up the next topic. I want to give a little bit of historical context here, and the historical context is this. In many instances, when you see a population either getting suppressed or, in a lot of cases, disarmed, which is what happened before multiple genocides. And you can point back to certain aspects of the Nazi regime, especially in the Weimar Republic beforehand, where they enacted gun laws, and the Nazi regime took advantage of those gun laws in 1938 as well. When you look at the Armenian Genocide, you have very similar things where you have the Ottoman Empire trying to take advantage of a pretty dire world situation in order to wipe out something that they saw as a pest or a threat to their overall hegemony as a society. Now, something that I really want to point to as well is, I just ask a broad-facing question. Would it be possible for America to even have slaves if they were allowed to own guns? All right, if they were allowed to participate in the same way of law and the same rights that Americans had wrote out for themselves in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, would it even be possible to have a slave state in the South? I ask that honestly, and I genuinely think the only valid response to that is it would be impossible. It wouldn't be possible to get them on the boat, let alone to use them as slaves. So using that as the precursor, there was new legislation dropped. I believe the name, I will get the exact name, I'll post it. It is Congressional Bill 6981. Now, Congressional Bill 6981, I want you all to go look at it. It is the, let me just pull it up, actually. It really helps everything out. All right. So it is to amend Title 18 U.S. Code. Now, it is Preventing Private Paramilitary Activity Act of 2024. This bill is on the floor. It has not been discussed, has not been voted on. So don't get riled up. I want you to understand what's out on the floor. Okay. What they're saying is, you read through this, there's a lot of language that I think is not irrelevant, but there's stuff that you need to pay attention to. Of course, like anything, you need to look for the most important information. Now, term number 9 here is saying it's trying to describe terms and give definitions before stating the actual the law. Now, number 9 points out private paramilitary organization. What they're terming is any group of 3 or more persons associating under a command that is not a military organization. All right, so now this gets into a bunch of different offenses, and one of the biggest ones is to patrol, drill, or engage in techniques capable of causing bodily damage, injury, or death. Now, when you're looking at the scope of this bill, and there's, let me just go check how many offenses we have. We have 5 different offenses that can happen under, looks like 5 different circumstances as well. So you have, that's got to be 25 options right there that you could violate. I can imagine that the lingo and jargon can really carry itself pretty far. What this legislation allows for, if it were to pass, is if anybody was deemed to be a paramilitary group or someone who's gathering together for paramilitary reasons, right? You could easily see they call it the slippery slope, but it's very easily described, in my opinion, simply as legal jargon. You could see that going way south and being brought in. There doesn't even need to be weapons involved, but if you have a group of guys getting together, guys and gals even, and getting together and talking about what's wrong with the country at the moment, that could be deemed as a paramilitary organization if they really wanted to. You could see that going in that direction. So when Americans are looking at how their rights are being infringed upon, and certain sects or certain groups will try to say that it doesn't exist or that our rights are totally intact, there's nothing wrong with it, say that gun control doesn't happen. This is the gun control that starts to legislate how Americans live their lives, right? So you're going to have to start being more secretive if you don't want to violate this law if it gets passed into law. What you're looking at, setting the people up for what I believe to be a controlled state. Okay, and I'm not pointing to that there's going to be a genocide, but I do think there's going to be a controlled state, right? Like I was mentioning before with America and their slaves, the only way that that happens is if they do not have their guns and if they don't know how to use them, right? So you can have the most guns out in a population, but if we have a bunch of dumbasses that have them, then they're worth nothing, right? Or if they're locked up in their safe and they never get used ever, they're not worth anything. And I think that's the point, right, of legislation like this. Now, of course, this isn't the first one, but starting to take a look back at how many different laws were passed to just chink away at the armor of the that Second Amendment, right? And I think this is just one small attack on one small part of it, which is that ability to form a well-regulated militia, right? I'll go out and read that Second Amendment for you. Well-regulated militia being necessary to security of free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, right? So it's even the first wording of that amendment that's being infringed upon, and it is scary. I would say it is scary as an American, and just watching what's happening around the world and how, like I said, how we're pitting up against each other, right? It's becoming a divide that is so clear. And it's not just on things like this, things like policy. I think a lot of it has to do with culture. All right. So I got into a Twitter exchange this weekend that I'm not proud of. Usually never proud of anything that goes on Twitter, but go follow me for the degeneracy over there. I believe it's Sal_Asante4. I will post it here just in case I totally got it wrong. But go follow me over there. Go check it out. Go see what I actually posted. I'll pull it up. I thought it was fascinating. Let's just put it that way. What I stumbled upon was somebody just pulled up. Somebody had the smarts to put out a tweet. So Trump was signing a tractor, right? And y'all know how I feel about Trump. I think he's way overboard. He is way past his limits, and we're not going to get into that right now. But regardless, somebody tweets about him signing a tractor. I don't think you understand how popular he is with normal Americans. Now, granted, you could take that statement or leave it. I think normal Americans are pretty pissed off with Trump. I'm just being totally honest. Just my feeling, my vibe with it. Pretty tired of him. But all that aside, somebody quotes, "Farmers are not normal Americans." LMFAO, which I found to be a little bit arousing, but I didn't get too much into any issue there. One thing that I did find odd was when the same person tweeted out, "A blue-haired Starbucks drinking coffee student majoring in English is closer to being a median American than some buttfuck farmer in rural Iowa." That was his words, not mine. Him or her's words. I don't know. Regardless, I responded. I thought it was a pretty decent response. "Never once have I seen you on my timeline. I thought you were pretty harsh words for a set of people putting food on your table. And maybe your reality is tinted, but blue-collar workers and their families, albeit not a majority of the population, make up a large representation of the United States," meaning that they're pretty normal people. And I really did find it astounding that one of the responses that I got was that farmers are not blue-collar workers. Now, I want to dissect this a little bit, because I do get where they're coming from. I get what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that farmers, not the farm workers, they're saying that farmers, the guys that own the farms, own tons of equipment. They have millions of dollars in assets. And what they're trying to say, which is actually incorrect, is that they just sit on land, don't produce crop, and receive government stipends. Okay. Now, as right as that might be in a small case, when you're talking about on a broad scale, American farmers farm. And if you know a farmer, if you've seen anybody, even on YouTube, there's a few farmers now, they don't fucking stop. Even if they own the thing 60 to 80 hours a week, minimum. Absolute minimum. If you know a farmer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And regardless of how big the farm gets, you are talking about someone who's controlling a food supply to a population, whether it's getting sold out to you or sold out to somebody at the lowest price. Whoever they're selling to is not really your business to know. All you have to know is that they're not sitting on land and producing nothing, nor is that big cat farmer. Now, I'm not going to go and support big farm. I hate big farm. I hate the fact that we have monoculture possibly ruining our soil. I think it's a very, very high chance, actually. And I also hate the fact that large-scale farming gets to a point where it degrades the animal. It no longer seems like an animal. It's just a product. That being said, farmers, a farmer, small, big, that farmer got there somehow, right? They built that up somehow. They got to where they're at by giving people what they wanted in a market. To say that that person is not blue-collar is not... not a normal American. I just can't fathom. They made a business decision just like anybody else. And a business decision, I know how to speak, right? A business decision that was put in front of them, especially based on where they are geographically. How could you say that's not a normal American, looking at what's around them and taking advantage of it? Mind-boggling to me. But to me, it's not about the tweet. It's not about exactly what was said in that interaction. It's about the differences of opinions on culture that the two sides have and the clear divide, right? It's not, I don't think it's just that there's different ideas. There's been different ideas on different sides of issues forever, okay? What's gotten different today, and I'm not attributing this to any side because I think both sides are very, very guilty of this. And I'm guilty of it, of course, myself. We're all human beings, but being so biased to the point, and nowadays it's terrible. Terrible, the echo chambers that you can get yourself into on social media and with the news stations, they're going to feed you exactly what you want to hear, right? And it's terrible, the situation that we see ourselves in when it comes to actual discourse with normal Americans, because when you're texting back and forth, even in a Twitter exchange, you feel the hatred. You feel the absolute necessity to prove you wrong, that I am right and your opinion is absolutely wrong, as if it has no bearing in society, right? An example actually came later in there. So in reference to the blue hair, I also noted that I do believe that if you are a sane and normal person, this could be going a little over the line. A sane and normal person, you react viscerally to things like someone dyeing their hair blue or to people painting their nails and they're a male, right? So you have female-looking nails on a male character. It's off-putting, right? I do think you have an inner reaction. Whether you actually show that reaction, maybe up to your either self-control or how you're raised, or maybe you're actually in that crowd. But I do think it is not normal to see that. It's become, I don't want to say normal in our culture, but it's become normal not to say anything. It's become normal not to shame anybody, not to make anybody feel bad for being abnormal. And I totally understand that. But for us not to acknowledge that there is a natural reaction to seeing something that's not normal, I think we are throwing away something valuable. We're throwing away our inner dialogue telling us that something is not good, and we are purposefully throwing that away in order to please someone else. And you could see this throughout many, many of the ideology games. Throughout, it doesn't matter what topic you're talking about, but just making the other side's argument look like utter trash and has no ability to coexist with yours, and the need to beat down. It gets us to the point that we're at, right? Like I said, I think there's a lot of people like myself, and I hope that this show is finding those people. But there's a lot of people like myself who want to understand every side of it. And yeah, we might have an opinion on it, but that doesn't mean that other opinions aren't valid. And I want to hear why you think, like, for example, I want to hear why you think it's okay to go after children with LGBT propaganda. Why is it okay to put that in front of people who can't fully comprehend what they're doing to themselves? And when you make excuses like, oh, that book is just in the library and it's not getting taught by teachers, we've all seen too many examples of the teachers in the classroom getting a little bit too informative to a younger audience. And it's sad to see. Now, we don't have to say that's the blanket statement across the board, and that's not what I'm trying to say. What I am trying to say is to act like it doesn't exist, or to act like this mentality of ideology capture. And I'm not just talking about the LGBT community. I'm talking about every movement as a whole. This goes, and you're forced to do it as the right because you're doing it to react to what the left is doing. But these movements of ideology capture lead us to a point of, like I said, you no longer have a discourse in America. You no longer have a middle point to come to when you go to have politics, when you actually need work to get done in a Congress, when you need to vote on a trade deal. Because it might not make sense in the best interest of the country. It might not make sense. Excuse me. So when it comes to something as serious as that, which may not look serious to people like us, but think about it in this terms, right? The argument over whether Israel should be receiving aid from the United States militarily or otherwise during this time. It has become such a politicized issue, and not even right or left, just Jewish or not, pro-Jewish or not pro-Jewish, and it's turned into an almost a Holocaust-adjacent issue where if you don't support the Jews in this issue, you must not support them in any of their other issues. And it is a sad, sad reality to see what's happened, I think. And that's just, again, that's just one example, right? And I want you guys to understand that the oversimplification of this stuff, it's impossible to do a show like this without oversimplifying things, without maybe, I don't want to say saying something that we know is wrong, but not going into too much detail in order to keep the show at what length and at what capacity it is, right? And it's not like we're not above these conversations, but everybody has a bias, right? So everybody is going to display what their mind is projecting as fact, right? And it's so hard to do that in this day and age that I think you are so much better off as a normal human being, a normal person, especially a normal American, trying to find everything out yourself. Because the more that you look into almost anything, the more your mind changes, the more you start to come up with new ideas, and the quicker that you shut yourself off to receiving new information, especially on an ongoing current event topic, the more that you shut yourself away from the true lessons that I think can be taken away from issues. You know, for example, with the Israel and Gaza war that's happening now, anybody who's been alive for, I would say more than 20 years, right? And I put myself in that place on purpose. You remember that we have had wars in the Middle East basically all our lives. And there was a brief instance, whether it was true or not, we were getting reports that we had peace in the Middle East under Donald Trump. And that was it. That was it. It wasn't the whole time. He came into office still in the Iran war, I believe. That being said, we have experienced this propagandistic state trying to convince us that war is good our whole lives, whether we want to agree with it or not. It comes from both sides of the aisle. Okay, there's intervention from the US coming all over the place. It just happens that if your political ideology doesn't line up with voting on this, or your PAC hasn't gotten the money to support, you're not going to go in on this. And that's what it's become. It's such a sad use of American intellect and ingenuity. And I'm so tired of Americans turning on each other for this. I want to move on to our last topic here, because I think it's actually a funny one, but it really does display what has happened when a group has been ideologically captured, I believe. Now, last subject that I want to take a look at is the trucker convoy that they're calling it, that went down to the border in Eagle Pass. What I put that in quotes and air quotes for anybody who's not watching this, anybody who's listening only. I put that in air quotes because you don't see too many trucks going down there. Just being honest, you've seen a lot of just loud mouths in cars screaming and waving flags. And mind you, you're not seeing too many illegal immigrants. Now, I'm not on the ground. I can't necessarily vouch for that 100%. I'm just going off of what I'm seeing. But you have a segment of the population that is so ginned up and so pissed off at the last results because they weren't vindicated. And they just can't let it go. I got to be honest, it's more of a Trump convoy than a trucker convoy. And they are honestly upset to not find piles and piles of illegal immigrants coming in. They are upset. It's mind-boggling to me. And if anybody thinks that, you know, I don't think I talked about this convoy going down because I didn't really think it was going to happen, to be honest. I don't think I talked anything about it until now. So if you thought maybe that I was telling you to go, you're insane if anybody thinks that, but I doubt that's the case. My bigger point being is to have gone to this convoy and actually thought that you're being a productive citizen, I think, I'm sorry for you. I just feel I'm sorry for you. I think that you've been so warped by these people online, these people who who purvey to know the truth, the exact truth, and nothing but the truth. There's so many people, especially on Twitter. I love Twitter now because you see so many people acting like they know what is 100% true, and they just don't back down. I think like one of my favorite ones is honestly like a Ben Shapiro. He just can not step off of his pro-Israeli. And I get it. I totally understand it. But not being honest about reporting on it when you are such a large portion of the right wing's media source. I'm sorry, man. It is disappointing, right? You have the opportunity taken by hosts like a Ben Shapiro and those others at the Daily Wire included, as well as on left-wing news networks just as much when you talk about Cenk Uygur over with the Young Turks, is that what he called himself now? Right? Or you have guys like Hassan Piker, I think the guy's name is right. These people are all trying to gin you up against the other side. Right? They all have the same plan. And why wouldn't they take advantage of a trucker convoy going down? What? Both sides. Why wouldn't they take advantage of an illegal immigration crisis that's going on when in reality you can call whatever a crisis or whatnot. When you look at it on paper, it's like a big jump in numbers. What that could mean, you can imagine yourself as a border agent. If something doubles, maybe in your sector, you saw two illegal immigrants coming in, and now you see 50% more. You see three illegal immigrants come in weekly. You know, and that, of course, that can add up. But when you, it's very, very possible that this whole media caucus on the right side has ginned up their whole audience in a way to make them think that something is happening that's not. And I'm not saying that the border crossings aren't happening. I'm saying it's very possible that this biggest caravan ever and the stream of immigrants is very much just a little bit faster of a trickle than we've ever had. And like I said, I think it just displays the opportunity for the government and their media outlets that side with their side. It gives them all the power. They really, I think, are doing research on us. They're seeing how we react to certain information. They're seeing what will occur when a certain legislation gets put on the floor and it's not even voted on, right? The stuff I mentioned earlier. They want to see what this is going to gin up. They want to see if you can react violently to certain things. I'm just out there telling you, everybody, we the Patriots people, do your own homework. Go find out why they don't want you to know the truth. And I will guarantee you that will tell you so much more of the story than you ever thought was possible. I'm Sal Sante. This was a great episode for me. A lot of learning happening, doing a lot of research to do with the world wars, doing a lot of research to do with civil war leading into the world wars and wars all over the place. All right. If anybody needs some interesting listening, go and do a little bit of homework on the different sides and powers of World War One, what happened in the Japanese, the Russo-Japanese War, the Sino-Japanese War. Go do some research on the different theaters of the World Wars and just how similar and how intertwined everything is. You're going to see a lot of similarities to today. You're going to see a lot of things that, I wouldn't say scary, you're just going to see congruencies that make sense. Be ready. Everybody stay informed, keep doing your homework, and I'll catch you next week. Peace out. I wanna be something, not nothing. Trapped inside my dream and I'm running. Running away from these demons. But the feeling's so good, I'ma keep dreaming.